Hebrews 13. Open to Hebrews chapter 13. Let's start that message like that today. And the title of today's message is Faith is the Victory. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And we're reading verse 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. Where are my youth today? So, we're going to have Audrey to read first. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6.
Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?
Amen. I want to show you one key there. Because I've been reading that scripture for many years. But one day I read it and the Lord opened my eyes. I tell you, do not underestimate the word of God. The power of revelation. You know, the word of God is not just about fact. If you go approach the word of God with an open heart, you expose yourself to the Spirit of God, it can give you revelation. Something new from what you've always known. He said, hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, God has said, I will never leave you. New Living says, I will never fail you. There is something that God does not do. He does not fail. Amen. God does not what? Fail. Now, there are some times that you may not get what you desire according to how you desire it. But believe me, if you walk with God, he will give you something better. You can look back in the end and know that God did it well. God always does all things well. Hallelujah. God cannot fail. He said, I will never leave you. That's a firm promise. I will never. You should never open your mouth and say, God, do not forsake me. He said, I will never leave you. Yeah? So then you pray that prayer. Then you say, God, do not forsake me. It's not faith. What you need to say is, thank you, Lord, because you are with me. He said, even when you pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I am with you. So if you feel you are passing through a valley, yeah? Say, you confess that and say, thank you, Lord, that you are with me. Hallelujah. He said, I will not forsake you. Now listen, this is the key. I want to show you the revelation I had one day. I've always known that scripture, Hebrews 13:5. But you need to connect Hebrews 13:5 to Hebrews 13:6. I'll show you the connection. He said, for God has said, I will never fail you and I will never abandon you. Now, what's the purpose for him to say that? He said, so that we can boldly say, when the Lord has told me that I will never leave you or forsake you, it's not my own job to say what? The Lord is what? My helper. If the Lord is with you, for what purpose is he with you? Yeah, is it just to warm your casket? Hallelujah. He said, I'm with you. Why? So that you can boldly say, he is what? He's with me. The Lord is my helper. Hallelujah. He said, Psalmist said, even though I go to the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Why? He didn't say, he's confessing it back to God now. He's not saying, he was talking to us, but then now changed the language. He said, for you are with me. Hallelujah. Say confession. Maybe that's why he did not continue. He didn't say he's with me. He said, you are with me. Hallelujah. You see, if you are going through an experience that is shaky, yeah, you open your mouth and begin to declare what God has said in his word about you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If the devil threatens you with the fear of death, what do? You go back to the Bible and he says what? I shall not die, but live. So right in the midst, you don't wait until you're out of the situation. Then that confession is no use. It's when you are in the midst of that sanctity, you say, I shall not what? Die. but live. Sometimes there's an attack on your health. And then, you know, symptoms seem to be coming back. What are you going to do? You open your mouth and say, you sickness, leave my body. I will not live under the shadow of sickness and disease. Not that I'm denying the fact. I have God's word. Hallelujah. I have God's word. Hallelujah. And the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And how do you use that sword? You have to boldly say. You will boldly say. Say, the Lord is my helper. If I find myself in want. Yeah? Then I have to go back to Psalm 23. It says, the Lord is what? My shepherd. I have all that I need. I don't wait until all my wants. Right in the midst of that lack. I say, Father, thank you. Because you are my what? Shepherd. I have all I need. Resources. Food is coming in for me. That's how I do it. Resources are coming in for me. Hallelujah. That's your confession. You have to boldly say what God has said about you. Amen. The topic today is faith is the victory. Can we say that together? Faith is the victory. Please open your Bible to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. We'll read verse 1 to 5. We have Sean reading that. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 1 to 5. 1 John chapter 5, thank you. Thank you, my darling. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 to 5.
Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God.
Listen to that. We'll continue, Sean. Thank you so much. Listen to that. Everyone, somebody say everyone.
Everyone.
Who believes that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is the Savior. Yeah, they have come to recognize it. That Jesus is what? The Savior. I can't make it without Him. There's no going to heaven without Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'm the way. And they believe that He's the way. Jesus said, I am the truth. They believe that He's what? The truth. Jesus said, I am the life. They believe that, yes, Jesus, there's no other life. If I cannot get the life that I need in Jesus, it's not nowhere else. Hallelujah. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is what? A child of God. Now, tell me, someone say, okay, I'm a child of God. Say, why? How do you know you're a child of God? Because I have received Jesus. Say, just say, I'm a child of God. Because I have received Jesus. Now, if you're not sure about that, you need to receive Him. Everyone who has received Jesus as the Christ is a child of God. I'm going somewhere. I want your identity. Hallelujah. You don't understand your identity. You cannot claim the reservation that God has made for you. It's like somebody reserved a ticket for you. You know, at a hell ticket for your holiday. This year, 2018. We don't know where you're going to. But somebody has paid for it. It will happen to some people like that in this church this year. Somebody will pay their ticket. And just tell them, you know, it's paid. Hallelujah. I don't know whether that's for you, but if it's for you, you have to believe it and receive it. Hallelujah. Somebody has paid the ticket. Reservation has been made. But for you to claim it, you need to know who you are. If you don't know who you are, you cannot claim it. I'm sorry. It will just waste. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, yeah, has become or is a child of God. That's identity. That's the identity you have to carry through life. That I am a child of God. God is with me. God is for me. God will help me. God will see me through. God will lift me up. God will make a way. Even when there seems to be no way. You know why? Because you sang it. He actually walks in the ways you cannot see. You see, in your brain, you can't see how it will happen. But God is bigger than your brain. Hallelujah. There are many things that God sees that you don't see. You're looking at it and say, ah, how will God do it? But God did it. Hallelujah, Sister Tony. 7 years ago, how will God do it? Could you ever predict your journey? You can't. 7 years from now, you can't predict exactly what your journey will be. But God knows the way. Hallelujah. He declares the end from the beginning. Meaning that nothing can take God by surprise. So that situation that is coming up in your life, yeah, that looks like the biggest deal. God is greater than that situation. Hallelujah. He is greater. You are a child of God. That's my identity. If I'm well established in my identity, I can begin to operate the promise of God for my life. Everyone who believes that Jesus is Christ is a child of God. Hallelujah. So you say, I'm a child of God. And my God is a good father. Hallelujah. Please continue. Verse 2.
And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For every child of God defeats this evil world.
Please read verse 4 again.
For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith.
Amen. Read verse 5.
And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
Hallelujah. You know, someone asked the question on Friday. He said, you know, why do Christians go to sickness? And why should that happen to Christians? Because we know that surely he has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. The punishment for our peace and well-being has been laid on Christ. Hallelujah. One of the main reasons why we go to sickness is because we are in this world. Hallelujah. The world is full of brokenness. Hallelujah. That's why we can contact it. Yeah? But that's not the end of the story. The Bible says that everyone, somebody say every. Everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. Maybe a better way to say it is that everyone who is born of God has the capacity, the inborn capacity to overcome the world. That capacity is in your spirit. Hallelujah. Your spirit is born again. Say, my spirit is alive. It has been made alive unto God. That's the difference between you and an unbeliever. An unbeliever may know about God in their head, but their spirit is not yet made alive unto God. Hallelujah. So the best they can achieve is religion. But you, your spirit has been born again. It is alive unto God. Everything that has been reserved for you in heaven is accessible to your spirit. Hallelujah. Everyone who is born of God, or I can say everyone who is born again, has the capacity to overcome the world. Now let me explain. What does the world bring your way? Let's have some examples. Let's look at what can bring your way. The negative things that come from the world. Yes. That's like 7 examples.
Disappointment.
Disappointment is part of what the world brings your way. Yes?
Fear and bad news.
Fear. Fear is an enemy. Hello? Say to yourself, I refuse to be afraid. You see, if something is coming at you and you're afraid, it's like you open the door wide for the thing to come. Hallelujah. Because when you are free, it becomes difficult to lay hold on the promise of God. Hallelujah. That's why it says, fear not. Do not be afraid. Hallelujah. I will never leave you. Nor what? Forsake you. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says, God is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our very present help in the time of need. What we just need to do is to be aware of it and know how to connect to it. He will not change his position. I say he will not desert you. You see, as a man, you can desert God because you have free will, you can walk away. But he will not desert you. Hallelujah. Even when the prodigal son walked away, yeah, he did not desert him. He was waiting for him. Daily, the father will go and watch. Is he on his way back? That's why the day he came, the father was already standing out. He gives us an idea that he has been doing that every day. There was no telephone in those days, you understand? So the father didn't know he was coming home. Hallelujah. I will never leave you. Never. Hallelujah. And so that means that because God will never leave me, When I begin to cooperate with God, all things are possible. All. Hallelujah. The only thing that is not possible is that which will destroy me. All things are possible. Hallelujah. So fear not. Don't be afraid. That which has come against your life, yeah, it may look like a big deal for you, but it's not a big deal for God. God is bigger. God is greater than your greatest fear. And he is able to make you. I want to say he's able to give you a testimony, but that's not good enough. He is able to make you a testimony. Please turn to somebody, tell them, say, God is able, more than able, to make you a testimony. That's God's plan. That's always God's plan. That's always God's plan. That's always God's plan. The business that God does in your life, yeah, is to interfere. But that's not the right word. I used it that way. The business that God does in your life is to intervene in your situation to make you a testimony. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everyone who is born of God overcomes this world. Yes, what else does the world bring your way? You talked about disappointment, you talk about fear. Say that again.
Sickness.
Sickness or disease. You know, sometimes even when you try your best, you cannot be too sure. Yeah? It's part of the humanness because your body is still mortal. So that summarizes any negative thing. But God is greater than sickness and this. Let me explain to you, because Jesus, when he was on this earth, he was never sick for one day. Hallelujah. And you know what he did? He now bore your sickness and his disease in his body. Hallelujah. And by the stripes that wounded Jesus, as far as heaven is concerned, in the court of heaven, in the court of heaven, in the court of heaven, you are healed already. That's the legal situation here. It's not a matter of whatever. That's why, you know, if you're a baby Christian, you can be praying and say, God, heal me. And if we listen to you, you're a baby, you know, you don't know your left from your right. But as you grow, you have to understand that in the court of heaven, the reservation for your healing has been made. It's paid for already. Hallelujah. It's not a matter of maybe God will think about healing you. You have been healed. That's the legal position. So what you need to do then now is, what I need to do, I need to go and identify myself with that legal position. Say, I'm here. I'm the owner. Hallelujah. Say, I'm the owner of that payment. I come to claim it. It's not a debate in heaven. The person that we debate is the devil. Hallelujah. But what the devil is watching out for is your confidence. Hallelujah. The devil is watching out for your confidence. That's what he's watching out for. When he knows that you know what you know, and you claim, he has to flee. He has to leave. Because the devil cannot stand the word of God. Yeah? The devil cannot stand the word of God in the life of a Christian who is confident about the word. If you know that what God has done for you belongs to you, the devil has to back off. Now, what he will do, he may present symptoms, but you have to stand your ground. Because you are born of God. I don't know if you understand what it means to be born of God. That means that you have the God kind of life in you. That life is the life that shines in the darkness. And the darkness cannot overcome. It's a different kind of life. It's not the human life. This is divine supernatural life you have in your spirit. If only you know how to draw from that well. He said, he that believes in me, out of his belly shall flow forth rivers of living. It's in your spirit. Say to yourself, say, it's in my spirit. Say, that victory is in my spirit. And you know how you draw from your spirit? Faith. Because faith is the substance. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Someone asked me, says, so, are you saying, Pastor, that your faith, you know, has got all to do with it? I say, absolutely. Absolutely. That's why you can see two different believers. One is living in victory and one is not. Yeah? It's about how they are using their faith. God loves them. I hope you understand that God's love for you, yeah, has nothing to do with you. He loves you. He also loves the world. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Hallelujah. God loves you. Say, God loves me. It's the foundation of everything. If God didn't love us, we won't be in church. Hallelujah. Because we won't deserve his presence. Amen. God loves you. Amen. But if you're going to live in victory, your faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And when you put your faith in gear, all things are possible. Now, you may ask and say, oh, but someone said, I've been serving you, God, faithfully, you know, for 5 years, for 10 years. You didn't do this for me. He says, provided for. I can prove this to you from the Bible. You know the story of prodigal son? You know he had a senior brother? Hello? The prodigal son had a senior brother who did not leave home. He was there serving the father faithfully. Now, this son comes back home. I hope you understand that the son coming back home is faith. He said, I will arise and go to my father. That's faith. He didn't deserve it. He said, I'm going. I said, Father, I have sinned. Just take me as your hired servant. He rose because he thought that he knows that he's his father. And the father saw him, and the father killed the fattest, you know, cow in the house. And then the senior brother comes and says, all this while I've been serving you faithfully. You didn't even give me, you know, a calf, you know, a goat kid to celebrate with my friends. Now this son of yours is not his brother, you understand? This son of yours who has squandered all out of the world comes back. You know what the father told him? He said, son, everything that I have is yours. Now let me explain that. Maybe you missed it. Remember that in the beginning, the prodigal son asked for his own portion and he divided. Meaning that he took his portion. What is like? Who owns it? Hello? What was left? Who owned it? He could have even asked for it and gone his way too, isn't it? Is everything you have is yours? If you wanted to deserve it, all you have to do is what? Ask and you what? You will receive. Asking is the seed for receiving. You have not because you ask not. There are people that say that I'm okay. I will just manage. They don't want to believe God for a breakthrough. They're ready to manage. Let's manage the situation. I have my doctors and they will give me medicine. I will manage it. Yeah? Once it doesn't go out of control, I'm okay. And they will go to heaven. Hello? God still loves them, they will go to heaven. The only problem is that they could have lived on a higher level. Because everything I have is yours. Hallelujah. Say to yourself, I know it's a big one. See, everything that God has is mine. I can prove it to you. Romans 6. He said, he that did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us freely, how shall he not also with him give us everything? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not just talking about prosperity, I'm talking about victory. Victory. Because all the world can give you is trouble. Hallelujah. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There is nothing the world can throw to you. Even in a situation whereby you are at fault, God is able. Remember that even before you got born again, you were a sinner. You were on your way to hell. Yeah, it's not like I'm a guy, he's a good guy, he's a good man. There's nobody that is good. Everybody has the capacity to do evil. They just need the right condition. Hello? But even when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. That's why the way we accept, the way we enjoy God's love is through our faith. Hallelujah. God respects your faith. He does. Because Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. That means that your faith pleases God. Hallelujah. More than any other thing you do. Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Like I explained to someone, I said, when you read righteousness, but we need to understand righteousness. He said, Noah was a righteous man. So I was watching this movie. Very rubbish movie. I'm sorry. Rubbish because they took the Bible and they nailed it to a cross. You understand? So Bible says, no, not physically. Bible gives us a story. They come and change everything. And by the time you watch it, you hate God, because God is very an uncertain, mad person who just does what he wants, and he's not even good enough to communicate his plan to the person that will implement the plan. The guy has to be guessing. Hallelujah. So he says, his wife of Noah was saying, you know, you're a good man. No, that's not what the Bible said. I know for somebody who doesn't know God, they read the story and say, Noah was a good man. No, that's not what the Bible said. Noah was a righteous man. There's a difference between a righteous man and a good man. The difference is their attitude towards God. Noah was not perfect, but he was a righteous man because his heart was right towards God. His heart honored God. His heart believed God. He believed God. That's why God could tell him what to do. Hello? If he didn't believe God, he would not build the ark. Are you with me? There was never rain before that time. Hallelujah. If you choose to believe God about anything that is going on in your life, at the end of the day, you will come out on top. That's the secret of victory all the time. That's the secret of supernatural victory. What other people did, yeah, and it was impossible. What drove other people? Remember my sisters in church, you know, she told me about a county court judgment or whatever. You know, what I say is that it's not possible. God did it. Hallelujah. They wiped it off. Hallelujah. Bible says when a man's ways please the Lord, he even makes his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, how can a man's way please the Lord? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. You know the meaning of that? It means that when I believe God, yeah, I can enter into the supreme court of the universe, which is the court of heaven, and claim that which has been reserved for me. Hallelujah. And it belongs to me. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to excite you. That's the reality of victory. Any victory you're going to have will start from your heart. Any victory you're going to have, supernatural, I mean. Supernatural. Okay, you can have natural victories. If you're very good with your feet, you can play football and win. You know, you don't need God. But that, yeah. Although you still need God's mercy, because if you are very good with your feet and you wake up sick on match day, you can't play. Are you with me? But any supernatural victory you have in life, it depends, starts from your heart. So the question I want to ask your neighbor is that, what do you really believe? Ask them, say, what do you really believe? What do you really believe about yourself? Please turn to them. I didn't hear you say, what do you really believe about yourself? What do you really believe about your health? What do you really believe about your future? What can you see God doing? Because if you can't see God do anything, yeah, you can't have it. Faith is the substance, Hebrews 11:1, of things hoped for. Hallelujah. That's it. I tell you, I say, don't just live on hope, like, oh, fingers crossed, best wishes. That will not help you. It will massage your emotions. You know, emotions, they are very, very important. Do you understand? Emotions. Yeah? Emotions are the greatest babies. Your emotions are the greatest babies. They like to be massaged. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. You know, let's ask the woman. You understand? Your emotions like to be what? Massaged. And hope will massage your emotion. So hope is not a bad thing in that sense. But hope will only massage your emotion. It will not deliver any result. But faith is the substance. It will give you result. Amen? Hope is future. Maybe I hope it will happen that. That massage of emotion keeps you going. Stops you from getting depressed. Hallelujah. But faith is the substance that will give you the result you need. Hallelujah. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. You can't see it in the physical. But let me tell you the truth of the matter. If you have faith, if you have real faith, you can see it in the spiritual.
There's nothing you are faithful. Until you start seeing it, you don't have it yet.
Excuse me, listen to that.
If you are believing God for something, you need to believe God to the point whereby you can see it in your spirit. You can know in your heart that you have it. You don't have it physically, but you know in your spirit that this thing is coming for me and nothing will stop it. You know what you have done? You have laid hold on it. Let me show you two places we round up. I don't want to preach too long. I'll continue this. Faith is the victory. We do part two, part three. So I start this here, teach you, refreshing you on faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Let's go there. 1 Timothy 6, 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. I'm reading 1 John 5, 4. It says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. For me, that's good news. I understand that in life, I don't have to be a victim of every situation or circumstance. I'm a child of God. I have the capacity in me to overcome anything that is coming against me. Because he is with me. He will never leave me, nor forsake me. And I'm boldly saying, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. I will not fear. When fear comes, you know how you deal with fear? Yeah? When fear comes, you have to open your mouth and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. Hebrews 13, 6. 1 Timothy 6, 12.
Yes?
Do you have Brother Dilly there or Sammy? Any of you, Sammy? 1 Timothy.
1 Timothy.
Chapter 6, verse 12.
12.
Listen to that.
Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal
life. Fight the good fight of faith. Continue, please.
Lay hold on eternal life.
Lay hold. Somebody say lay hold.
Lay hold.
On eternal life. Continue.
To which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses.
You know, I can teach you. We can hold a whole sermon on that verse. Let me break it down a little just for time's sake. Listen, let's start from the back to the front. It said you were called to eternal life. The Bible says whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. That means now you have received Jesus. You right now, what do you have? What type of life do you have in your spirit? Eternal life. You agree with that? You have eternal life. But Bible, see the key. The key is that you have eternal life, but he's telling you lay hold. Hello? You have eternal life. I know. But you have to what? Lay hold. He says, son, everything I have is yours. So why could you not declare the party? Hallelujah. Lay hold. The Greek word there is epilambano. You have to lay hold. Somebody, preachers, he said, you know, like in when we were growing up, I don't know about now, we had this wrestling competition called WrestleMania. You know WrestleMania? You know one of the codes of WrestleMania? Raw is war. Can you say that again? Raw is war. Do you get the trick there? When you take war and you put it backwards, it's what? Raw. Hallelujah. That is life. Life. It's a battle. You don't need to deceive yourself about it. Don't sit back when things come against you and say, why did this happen to me? Did I deserve it? This is life, wrong is war. But, and Bible, that's what Bible saying, that you have received eternal life. You are to lay hold on it. You lay hold. That means, when life throws at you, you respond back with the eternal life that you have in your spirit. And you can never do that until you begin to confess the good confession. Hallelujah. You have to. You can't keep quiet. Let me tell you something. Someone told me, says, you are not a lizard that knows his head. You are not a snake that eases about or whinges or grumbles. That is not how to be spiritual. You are a living spirit that speaks. A living spirit speaks. A living spirit speaks. A living spirit speaks. A living spirit speaks. That's the evidence that that spirit is living. What I always say is that when God made the world, he said, and God said, that's a living spirit. Hallelujah. That's a what? A living spirit. Not how you lay hold on eternal life. You are going to, anything the world throws at you, Yeah? You can't just stay put and just receive the blow. God, give me more strength, more blow. You understand? I say, people pray for me, I'm receiving these blows now. Hallelujah. You are to respond back as a living spirit. A living spirit that has eternal life. We make the good confession. What is the confession you make? The word of God. The word of God is your confession. And whatever your situation, find out what the word of God has said. Let me show you some things that the word of God has said. Psalm 16 verse 8. Psalm 16 verse 8. It says, I have set the Lord always before me. Psalm 16 verse 8. It says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because it's at my right hand, I shall not be moved or shaken. I say, see him come your life that wants to move you. Whether move you physically or move you spiritually. It doesn't matter. You are allowed to apply the word of God to physical or spiritual. You begin to speak to your situation and say, in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't read that scripture and begin to pray to God and say, God, please help me not to be moved. No. That's not what the Bible said. He said, I have set the Lord always before me. That's your own job. Set the Lord always before you. Stay in the place of communion. Stay in the place of fellowship. Yeah? Stay in the place of the word. You are setting the Lord before you. Now, when you do that, you don't begin to pray and say, God, please, I must not be moved. No, no. You begin to say, I shall not be moved. You are behaving like a living spirit. Hallelujah. Say, I'm a living spirit. You see, with faith, no matter how much of the word of God you know in your head, yeah? If you don't start acting on that word, no result. So when you say fight the good fight of faith, it's not like you are holding weapons to fight the devil. No, no, no. You are standing your ground. You are standing your ground in the victory that Jesus has won for you. Amen. That's what you're doing. And the Bible says that when you do that, the devil will flee. He says, submit yourself to God. First step. Resist the devil and he will what? Flee. It doesn't matter if it's a symptom. You're going to start. Because I find out that eventually, it all comes back to what you really, truly believe. You know? I'm walking about and I begin to feel, it happened to me. You know? Walking on campus, university, and I had this pain in my knee. And I actually, you know, was so, I was praying, but I was side-lipping. I said, Lord, this word does not glorify you. Hallelujah. But something begins to work in your mind. What is coming? Okay, then I didn't think about it, but later when I talked with my wife, she was talking about something else. Then she mentioned the word arthritis. I said, oh, maybe that thing I was feeling, maybe it was like, but you know what? Then you start thinking, you start believing it. You start believing it. I'm 40 plus now, so maybe, you know. You understand me? And before you know it, you start believing that, this is a dress. Before you know it, you start even confessing it. Say, Fernando, you know? You will now start confessing it. That's how you begin to lose the victory. Because, you see, those are facts. But that's not the result you need. You know? You don't understand what I'm trying to say. It's like when I'm playing football with my son. We play football. Okay, it's not like advanced football in the field. It's football in the living room. You understand the type of football? You know, he tells me, you're more skillful than me. Because I'm not a footballer. And he's played more football than maybe I ever played in my whole life. You understand? I see what he plays and he's the skill. But the difference between us is that he's enjoying the skills, but I'm scoring the goals. Because I have a mission. He said, why are you always winning? I said, I'm very focused in this mission. Hallelujah. That's the way you have to do this business. You cannot be messing about with the facts. They will help you. You are a living spirit. A living spirit that speaks the word of God until their situation changes. Amen? He said, fight the good fight of faith. Please talk to yourself and say, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on the eternal life you have received. By making a good confession of the word of God in every situation or circumstance of your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are a child of God. Say to yourself, I'm a child of God. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Savior, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is the way, the truth, and that is a child of God. And whatever is born of God has the capacity, the capability, you are fully equipped in your spirit to overcome the world. And that victory is released through your faith. Let me round up on this note. Remind you a story. You know the children of Israel? God promised to deliver them from Egypt. And he already delivered them. They were on the way. They were singing already. I will sing unto the Lord a joyful song and praise his name, for the Lord. It's one of their songs. It's in the Bible. Exodus. Hallelujah. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has been thrown into the sea. It's in Exodus. Who is like unto thee, O Exodus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then, problem. As they were still dancing, suddenly they look forward, Red Sea. You know, God delivered them. At that moment they saw the Red Sea, are they forsaking them? No. Then, problem. They look back. Egyptian army. They are now perfectly sandwiched in the middle for a thorough massacre. Are you with me? That was their situation. That's like any situation that comes against you. Sometimes you feel there's no way forward, there's even no way backward. And then they cried unto Moses. And Moses sought the Lord. You know what God said to them? Let me show you. We round up. Go to Exodus. Exodus. Because I want to show you that these principles are no different. It's the same principle. The principle of faith is the same principle, whether old or new. It's just your God working in different levels. But it's the same principle. Exodus. Please let me, someone let me find where we are looking for. Exodus, where are we looking for? Chapter 13. Exodus 13. You see, there's a blessing for whoever quoted that verse. A special blessing for you. Exodus, if I don't get us, was for you. Exodus chapter 13. She gave me the verse. Okay, it's for you too, Pastor James. Hallelujah. Exodus, is it 13 or 14? I think it's 14 we're looking at now. 14, which verse? Yeah, I used to know it. I remember Exodus 14, 14. The Lord will fight for you and you hold your peace. Listen to this. Yes. Okay. No. Listen. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We'll read it from verse 12. I'll read it for time. It says, verse 12. Exodus 14, verse 12. Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt? They were complaining because they've seen the problem. You know, like some of us, we just talk, complain, find everybody to blame. Somebody will always have a fault. You understand? And usually you will not blame yourself. Okay? Is it not? He says, let us alone. We've told you. Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. Were they not serving the Egyptians before? Were they not suffering? He said, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, what's the first thing Moses said to people? Do not. So that means that number one, even as a man, Moses understood that the first problem they have now is fear. Yeah? Because all the power that God used to deliver them, was it their power? No. It's fear. He said, do not be afraid. Look at what he said. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord which is coming for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you and he shall hold your peace. I just want to make a point there, and that is that sometimes the situation arises in your life, an opportunity for God to destroy a particular enemy in your life forever. A particular oppression in your life, yeah? That's been oppressing you. Yeah? You say, why did God allow it? But when God finishes business, you will never see that thing again. Never. He will have lifted you beyond that level. It will never be an issue in your life again. Hallelujah. Look at verse 15. Look at verse 15. Let's just read it together. As we round up, they said, and the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Hallelujah. I'd like to write it there, round up there. You understand? Don't be afraid. Don't cry. Don't moan. You are a living spirit. Say, I'm a living spirit. A living spirit speaks. A living spirit does what? Speaks. That's the difference between a living spirit and a dead spirit. You see, an animal does not speak, but they have their own noises. But a living spirit, what? Speaks. That's the difference between man and animal. A man is a living spirit. Hallelujah. He speaks. Hallelujah. You have eternal life in you. You take hold of that life. How? Take the word of God. Believe it with your heart. Begin to speak to your situation. Speak to your situation. Speak to your circumstance. Speak to it in the morning. Speak to it in the night. Don't do it in your name. Do it in the name of Jesus. Don't do it in your brain power. Find the word of God that supports you. Speak it. It must give way. The Red Sea must give way. It must. It must. It must, because the power you are releasing is the same power that created the Red Sea. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and pray. Let's go ahead and pray. You see, you're a child of God. You're a child of God. Let's play the, you know, brother, come, let's play that song. You see, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I don't know about you, but I just made up my mind one day that I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. That's my identity. I said that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. My life is not going down. Arthritis is not taking hold of me. It doesn't have a place in me. I can't allow it. I resist it with the word and it goes. Gone. Hallelujah. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Don't allow anything in your life. Consider not the things you are going to consider him. Set your focus on him. Lay hold on it. He belongs to you. He's in your spirit. Hallelujah. And you have you have every right to it. All that I have is yours. That's what the father said. Hallelujah. Let's rise up and sing that song. I'm a child of God.
I am a child of God.
God, thank him that he is there with you. He is with you. He is your shepherd. He is your light. He is your salvation. He is the strength of your life. He is your glory and the lifter of your head. He is the one that makes a way for you, even when there seems to be no way. He is the one who fights for you and you hold your peace. He is the one who is turning things around. He is the one who is the Lord, your rock, your strength, your deliverer. He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord your healer. He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord your provider. He's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord your fighter. He's Jehovah Nisra, the Lord your banner. He's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord your righteous. In the time.